Off the Ball Breakfast.
We are in a death spiral. That would like we are the death spiral.
Death BT or
no,
TH.
TH.
Because BT is 40 million, isn't it?
Well, you know.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball Daily.
And you're welcome to Off the Ball Sunday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to seven. We hope you're doing well around the country. What has come up in the show today? Well, the Premier League is back after the international break. We have two live and exclusive commentary games for you today. First up, Burnley against Liverpool, the champions, with Phil Egan and Keith Tracy describing that one from 2 o'clock. Then we're going to showcase the Manchester derby between City and United with Nathan Murphy and Brian Kerr live from the Etihad Stadium. That game kicks off at 4:30. Cameron Hill and Shane Hannan with us for the news round. Good afternoon, gents.
Afternoon, lads.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Not too bad. We've got some sad and shocking breaking news, Cameron, from the world of sport.
Yeah, dreadful news, John. A four-time world champion boxer, Ricky Hatton, has died at the age of 46. The British fighter, nicknamed the Hitman, was due to return to the ring later this year in Dubai. Police were called to hide in Greater Manchester early this morning where a man's body was found. It's not being treated as suspicious. He won 45 of his 48 bouts in a 15-year boxing career.
A shocking news. Boxer of the year in 2005, and our condolences with his family and friends. Just reeling from that news now, the last half hour.
Yeah, such an iconic figure in boxing, you know, in that era, particularly those fights, you know, against Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. And I know he was a massive Oasis fan. I remember Noel and Liam Gallagher walked him into the ring for a fight in 2008 as well. A man that just never lost his strong Manchester accent, his attitude, and I mean, he was a British sporting icon, but it kind of transcended to other places as well, just because of the character he was, I suppose.
Man of the people,
yeah.
Vibe about him.
Yeah, a real working class, kind of likeable sort of vibe about Ricky Hatton. And I know he was due to make the comeback, obviously, as we said, in December in a fight, and was in the midst of training for that. If people follow him on social media and whatever, you'll have seen that, but obviously that's now not going to happen, and 46 is just no age whatsoever. So, yeah, thoughts with his family and friends, and yeah, I think anyone with a pugilistic mindset or anyone who just casts any sort of eye on the world of boxing will feel this news today, because he's a nostalgic name, but he's also a sporting icon, I suppose.
Yeah, it's terrible news. It's terrible news, and we'll get more reaction and discussion around Ricky Hatton. Very sadly, he's passed away at the age of 46. Ireland have a try.
Ish. It's going to TMO.
Okay.
So Sam Monaghan powered over after around 5 minutes there in Exeter. A dog of a day, it looks like, at Sandy Park today. But would be the perfect start if it's given. But we're just seeing a potential knock-on from Ireland just in the build-up. Aoife Wafer, who's back today, snaffling the ball, but we're not 100% sure. So we will... Well, keep you abreast.
Let's go to Sandy Park and Exeter now, because the ex-Irish international Fiona Hayes is there. Fiona, what's happening? Fiona, are you there?
She's still in shock as to what's happening here.
Yeah, well, we started so well against New Zealand, and you know, it's exactly the same thing that's happening here today, as you say.
Trying to lip read the referee here.
No, it's been ruled out. It's been ruled out. So 4 minutes gone in Sandy Park and Exeter. Good start for Ireland, though, on the front foot, but a try disallowed.
It looks like they're still going to resume from right on the French try line. So, yeah, it's a really, really strong start. Exactly the kind of response you'd expect from Ireland after what was a tough day at the office last weekend.
So this is a World Cup quarterfinal. Remember, 11 years ago, we reached the semifinals by winning the pool. We played New Zealand then. So this is Ireland, actually, in the men's and women's game, have never won a quarterfinal of a World Cup. Going back, what, 40 years. So this is a great opportunity. We haven't beaten France in 8 years, but the gap was narrowed in the Six Nations to 12-point defeat earlier on, but we played very well. And we've gone to the corner here now. So we'll keep you right up to speed, folks, and everything that's happening in this Rugby World Cup quarterfinal. Remember, England and Scotland as well later. But Ireland with the go-forward momentum at the moment, and hopefully they can maintain it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think no matter what happens today, I suppose, it's been an absolutely brilliant tournament, and great for Ireland to cement themselves on that top table once again. The momentum that they've had, the green wave that's been so well talked about throughout this tournament, has been just so exciting to follow. And maybe this tournament comes a little bit too soon for the development of this team, but you can certainly see them kicking on. I think it's Clean Maloney McDonald's the only one who played at a World Cup before this. So the experience that these players are getting will really stand to them, you'd feel.
Yeah.
Even like Susanna Mullen was on with us in Off the Ball Breakfast on Friday morning, and she's over there obviously with Fiona Hayes today, but she made the point that, you know, maybe the 40-0 defeat to New Zealand came at the perfect time. You know, you get the two relatively comfortable wins in the pool over Japan and Spain, and then to have a drubbing at the hands of New Zealand. Look, they started each half well against New Zealand, and obviously a couple of late tries for the Black Ferns as well maybe put a sheen on the scoreline for them. But you sometimes need a kick in the teeth before you get into a Rugby Cup quarter final, and maybe that New Zealand game has kicked them into gear, because certainly they've started the brighter of the two teams, and they are over for a try.
Linda Dugang, what a try. Very quick tap there from Evene Riley on a penalty. France have given away a few penalties here. Yellow card could be coming soon, but that's an absolutely brilliant start. Exactly what they didn't get last weekend.
Linda Dugang, she just made her 50th appearance for Ireland, and Ireland 5, France 0 at the Women's Rugby World Cup quarterfinal, and that's going to have a conversion to come as well. So what a start in Exeter. Couldn't it be to have a better start, really?
Yeah.
And maybe the conditions will help us, because it just felt in the New Zealand game that it got away from us a bit at the end. So maybe the attritional nature of this could be in our favour.
Well, especially like France have, by all accounts, picked a team to battle kicks. So that back three of Bourgeois, Griset and Arbe is designed to kind of counteract what Dan O'Brien will do, which is put boot to ball all day long. But if it's raining and it's tough under the high ball, it could just fall for them.
This conversion is a horrible kick for a left footer as well out by the sideline. It's a horrendous...
She's missed it. So 5-0 to Ireland. Conversion missed. And we got 6 minutes in the watch next year. But Ireland ahead in the Women's Rugby World Cup quarterfinal.
Blow it up, ref.
Stop the count.
Yeah.
So we have that going on. We'll keep you up to speed on everything that's going on in that one. What else do we have? We obviously got the Manchester Derby today, Cameron.
Yes, indeed. Before we get to that, really busy day for Team Ireland at the World Athletics Championships already today, John, in Tokyo. So Charlene Mosley's time of 51.4 seconds in her heat was good enough for fourth in the heat, and she goes through as one of the non-automatic qualifiers to the 400-metre semi-finals. Not to be for Sophie Becker today. She finished sixth, missing out on progression. Sophie O'Sullivan and Sarah Healy will both go in the 1500-metre semi-finals in the next hour or so. While earlier today, really busy day, Fionnuala McCormack, 10 days shy of her 41st birthday, carded her best ever global finish in the marathon, ninth in a time of 2 hours, 30 minutes and 16 seconds. So a great performance for her. Sarah Lavin, third in her women's 100 metres hurdles heat. So she's through to tomorrow's semi-finals. Nicola Tuttle into her first ever senior world final in the hammer throw. And Evander Koskeren finishing sixth to go through to the semi-finals of the men's 1500 metres. His middle distance teammate Cathal Doyle missed out after finishing 12th in his heat.
It's funny, I was listening to Cathal Dennehy during the week on News Talk, and he was kind of talking about the fact that we go into this now with hopes of medals, but realistically, maybe notwithstanding Kate O'Connor in the heptathlon, which doesn't get underway until Friday, Kate's probably around the fifth or sixth mark there. So things could happen and she could nick a bronze. It would be brilliant. But obviously with Rashida being out, we're kind of more looking at athletes getting to world finals, which would be massive. For some athletes, getting to a world semi-final would be massive. So that's where you see progress and development. It's not all about the medals. And if anyone's tuning in this week looking for a haul of Irish medals, sorry to disappoint, but that's not going to be the case. It's going to be a case of getting to finals. The great thing is RTE have, I think for the first time since the late 90s, picked up the rights and the coverage for the World Athletics Championships.
On television.
So it's a sign of the times in that athletics is riding the crest of a wave at the moment, and that shows no signs of stopping.
Well, also, you're year one of an Olympic cycle here. So there have been, today with the women's 100-metre heats, there have been some pretty weird results so far. Like, Sha'Carri Richardson did not do well earlier. Mm. Neither did Dina Asher-Schmidt. She had to qualify as a non-automatic. So it could throw up some interesting results. I wouldn't... On form, you'd assume that maybe it's not going to be quite the prolific medal haul for Ireland as it once was, but this one can throw up such interesting results just so soon after an Olympics.
Yeah, and Jakob Ingebrigtsen as well with an exit, a very, very surprise shock exit in the men's 1500-metre heats in Tokyo as well. So it's the only medal missing from his collection, the World Outdoor title, but beaten by Britain's Josh Kerr and Jake Whiteman in the past two editions. And yeah, he won that Olympic 1500 metres 4 years ago, but finished eighth in his heat yesterday. So that was a result that definitely stood out.
just in terms of the Burnley-Liverpool game, Alexander Isak not in the Liverpool squad today, the new signing from Newcastle. Look, he's trying to get the match fitness back, and obviously that'll take a while. A couple of changes from Burnley, Loum Shaouna and Josh Laurent coming into their starting 11. Josh Cullen is back in their team after his performances for the Republic of Ireland. Liverpool unchanged from the win over Arsenal. Jeremy Frimpong is on the bench. So for Burnley, Dubravka Walker is at right back, obviously having signed for Manchester City. Ekdal, Estev and Hartman. Cullen, the captain, and Ugochukwu, Shaouna, Laurent, Anthony, Jaden Anthony and Lyle Foster. For Liverpool, Alisson in goal. Szoboszlai again at right back. Kanate, Van Dijk, the captain, and Kerkez, Gravenberg, McAllister, Salah, Wirtz, Gakpo and Ekiteke. 5-0 still to Ireland against France.
Indeed. Indeed. We go to the big one later on today, Manchester Derby.
Why not? Spoil it.
Okay, so Manchester City versus Manchester United, unsurprisingly, in the Manchester Derby. Pep Guardiola's City have endured a poor start to the campaign, lost two of their first three matches. They've also seen the departure of a number of key players in recent months, John, including Kevin De Bruyne, Ilkay Gundogan and Ederson. And Guardiola was asked to compare this period of transition with when he first arrived to the Etihad in 2016.
I had her in that time. I was younger. 10 years is a lot of time. It's not the same. Any one of us is the same after 10 years. But yeah, that's true. When you change 10 players, that have been really, really important. Every time you have been a process. So last season, before the start, we just bought Savinho, and because I rely a lot with the players that we had. But after last season, happened many things in terms of injuries, in terms of. Many problems that we had, and the club decided not for now, for the next years, you know, to make the first step to do it. And I would love to have, you know, for the players for 8 years ago, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, but it's impossible. And every club always there are changes. And of course, when you change 10 players in a period for 4 or 5 months, of course, everything is need to be settled, fixed, and coordinated. And we are doing very, many good things, but still we have to be, of course, more consistent than we have been, but step by step we do it.
Mateus Cunha, Diogo Dalot and Mason Mount will all miss the game for United this afternoon. They came away with a 2-1 win in last year's meeting at the Etihad Stadium. And despite a difficult start to this season, Amorim feels they're a better team 9 months on.
I think we are a better team. I think if you see... Any aspect. If you see the data, we are a different team. We are ready to play the game, but we have to show on Sunday. So I think we are a better team today.
You said last season, before you played City, that you had more problems or bigger problems than Manchester City at the time. Do you still feel that's the case? And do you feel there's more pressure on you than Pep, given what he's achieved in the game?
That is there is no. You cannot compare. The guy is he's winning all the time. He can relax in not doing winning anymore. I have to prove every day here, and I feel that. So I'm really comfortable that, and I think that every day that I'm coming here, I have to do better. Compare me with the situation of Guardiola is just a joke. I think we have. Bigger problems. We continue to have bigger problems, but we are addressing everything. And sometimes we are frustrated, angry, but we are facing all the problems and we are trying to improve. And I see the team playing so much better now. We just need to be more clinical, to win more games, and things are going to get easier, I think.
Ruben Amorim there. Let's bring in our commentator ahead of the first game, Burnley and Liverpool. Phil Egan is going to be with Keith Tracy for the afternoon. How are you, Phil?
Very well, John. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, Phil. And Liverpool, I mean, I don't know what you think, but for a title-winning side, they feel to be in a little bit of transition even early in the season. And no Isak involved today. So it'll be interesting to see how clinical they can be against a Burnley team that was very good defensively in the Championship last season, but has obviously struggled at a higher altitude now.
Yeah, absolutely. Burnley only conceded 16 goals all season, but they've already conceded six, and I suppose that's just a mark of the quality they're facing now. But in terms of Liverpool, I suppose we did think that we'd see a bit of Alexander Isak, considering he came off the bench for Sweden in that 2-0 loss to Kosovo. He got 18 minutes. Now, I'd imagine Jan Dahl Thomason probably would have loved to have used him for a bit longer, but Arne Slot did speak about how happy he was that Jan Dahl Thomason didn't get tempted to, because he's no fitness. He hasn't played any football. I still thought we might see him on the bench, but in terms of the Liverpool attack, there's been moments, and that's been enough to get 3 wins from 3. You think of disappointment they must have felt when they conceded the second goal against Newcastle, a 10-man Newcastle, but they still showed that bit of quality. Szoboszlai was involved when he stepped over, and Ngamoa showed great composure for a 16-year-old, as he was at the time. He's obviously since celebrated his 17th birthday. You think of Szoboszlai, free kick against Arsenal to win the game. He's going to start as a right back again. There was moments in the second half of that Arsenal game where Florian Wirtz, you could see exactly what he's about. We saw over the international break that stunning free kick he scored against Northern Ireland. So I think Arne Slot will be very happy. 9 points on the board and certainly a work in progress. But I suppose the worry for all the Liverpool's rivals, now that Alexander Isak is a Liverpool player, when this attack clicks, it could be frightening.
And Phil, look, it's a big boxing fan, as we know you are. It's a very sad day with the terrible news that Ricky Hatton's passed away.
Absolutely. I mean, it's floored me, to be honest, because, you know, I was only watching the boxing last night in Belfast, and, you know, I thought the decision when that was wrong, and I always give out. I was like, it sucks me back in. But people like Ricky Hatton is why I love boxing. And I mean, growing up watching him, we used to pack 20, 30 people into the house, into the front room, watching his fights. I remember the night he beat Costa Zoo in the MEN Arena. It was on very late to factor in the US audience. And you see the build-up to that Mayweather fight. Ricky Hatton, a big Manchester City fan, Mayweather, turned up with his United jersey to try and stoke things. And yeah, it's awful news, because Ricky Hatton was an unbelievable boxer, and he had an unbelievable following. That fight with Mayweather, huge crowds followed him out to Las Vegas, and they would have spent every penny they owned just to get there. And yeah, it's awful news, and thoughts with his family and his friends.
Okay, Phil Egan there ahead of Burnley against Liverpool, which kicks off at 2 o'clock in the Premier League. And his words as well about Ricky Hatton, very sad news. We're just joining us. He's died at the age of 46, the boxing legend.
Still 5-0 to Ireland in this quarterfinal against France. They are fighting tooth and nail, not giving France a minute's peace so far. We were fearful that maybe Aoife Wafer being 100% fit might be, is that a question? But geez, there's no question about it today. She's absolutely firing on all cylinders.
Well, let's get a more in-depth view from the stadium. Let's try and bring in Fiona Hayes. Fiona, what's happening?
Hi lads, we're 16 minutes in and Ireland have started this game unbelievably well. You were talking about Aoife Wafer. She is thundering down the French 10's throat every chance she gets. Brilliant scrum as well. You're in the process in here of an amazing Irish scrum. They've been doing so well. The score is 5-0 to Ireland and they are just inside the French 22, really pinning them in there for the last maybe 5-6 minutes and looking like they might come away with a score here, guys.
Okay, Fiona Hayes there. Keep your rod at speed on what's happening. But Ireland in front and on the attack at the moment. What else we got? We got domestic matches. Obviously, the FAI Cup has to be resolved when it comes to getting all four teams into the draw for the semi-finals. Cameron?
Yes, indeed. And five-time winners St. Pat's welcome Galway United to Inchicore for a 6 o'clock kickoff tonight. So a renewal of the Stephen Kenny-John Caulfield rivalry once again in the last of this weekend's quarterfinals. Shamrock Rovers, Cork City and Kerry FC already through to the last four. So already been a great weekend of cup action.
The Kerry story is just unbelievable. Like that comeback, and we mentioned it in the show yesterday. I know Will said that the FAI official account had tweeted Sligo through to the next round, through the semi-finals at 3-0 up, and then Kerry FC had a bit of a joke about it on social media after the game. Just an amazing, like to equalise in the dramatic fashion that they did, and then to get the winner, what, 116th, 117th minute to avoid the dreaded penalty shootout. That's the biggest day in Kerry FC's history, and unbelievable.
They're already calling it Tralee Stanville.
That's class.
Yeah. That needed the penalty shootout, though.
That's not yours now.
That's not mine. No, okay. I claim no ownership over that.
That's good. That's class.
Credit elsewhere.
So women's FAI Cup action as well.
Yeah, Bohemians in the final already, and they will take on the winners between Shamrock Rovers and Athlone Town. Athlone Town looking to bounce back from their midweek loss to Glasgow City in the Europa Cup and book a second consecutive final. So that's underway today from four as well.
Just saying that the Manchester Derby, lads, like I was watching back, and I said this yesterday, the 09 game when Michael Owen scored that winning goal, and there have been some classic matches in this encounter, but this game today, say there is a loser this afternoon, the pressure, like, you know, Man City would have lost if they lose today three of their first opening four games, massive pressure on Pep Guardiola, and clearly if Ruben Amorim is to lose another game at the start of what's been a ropey enough season so far, obviously that win against Burnley just before the international break gave him a little bit of room to breathe, I suppose. But it's just a massive one. The Cunha and Mount stuff that you mentioned, the injuries are crucial, but Man City are missing a lot of players for this game as well today. You'd expect Donnarumma maybe to be thrown in from the very outset by Pep. Ruben Amorim has already said that Altay Bayindir will start in goals and not Sine Lammens, the new 23-year-old keeper from Belgium. So it's a massive one. And look, United, as poor as they were last season, took 4 points off Man City. And one at the Etihad with that late goal from Ahmad.
I think it's how it unfolds. Whether it's win or defeat, like if United are stuffed, and how it transpires is probably the more interesting thing. Mm. Is it going to be a turgid affair? Will it be lots of goals? I think with City, as Pep said in the Brighton game, they forgot how to play when they were ahead. The Tottenham defeat was one marked by like poor goalkeeping for the second goal, and they just. After the Wolves game, they haven't really clicked yet, and you'd expect that they will, but I mean, how far will Arsenal and Liverpool be ahead in the table when they do?
And Brighton were all over them in the second half of that game as well, and it's going to take Rodri a bit of time to get back into
the United, we're going to see goals. I think we're going to see more attacking play and better attacking play. We're probably going to see more goals at the other end as well.
Brighton Bumo has been the pick of those signings so far. Benjamin Sesko, it's taken him time to bed in, but obviously played 90 minutes twice over the international break, so he's got the minutes into the legs now. Erling Haaland, though, of course, what, 5 goals in that 11-1 win for Norway over Moldova, so there's a couple of strikers that are hoping to get in the score sheet.
What's happening now? 5-0 to Ireland.
France could be in real trouble here. Eve Higgins taking what looks to be a shot to the head in the tackle there from the tight head prop Bernardeau. They're seeing it here on the TMO. The referee has just gone back, so we're going to get a decision here in a second, but it could go from bad to worse here for France.
This could be the semi-final right here. Like if
she's going to her pocket. Yellow card, bunker review. We'll see. But
10 minutes in the bin.
It's all going Ireland's way so far. Yeah, they need a score.
They have to capitalise on this, don't they? 5-0 they lead in 18 minutes into this. In a terribly wet day at Sandy Park in Exeter, but look, it's right there for Ireland at the moment. Right there, Lyndon Jungang with the try. The conversion was missed.
Like it was 27-15, wasn't it, in Belfast in the Six Nations between these pair, that the general consensus was that France has maybe improved a little bit since then, but also Ireland have improved a little bit since then. So like, it's just one of those games that, I don't know, maybe the Ireland players feel like they're in bonus territory a little bit. If they get to a semi-final, that would be incredible. As you said at the start of the tournament, Cameron, England, this is England's tournament to win, so or to lose, rather. But for Ireland to get to what, first semi-final since 2014?
Yeah.
Incredible. It's early days though, sorry.
New Zealand and Canada into the semis as well. About an hour's time, Cameron, Aoife O'Rourke is in a world boxing final.
Yep, bidding to become a world boxing champion this afternoon, John. Castlereagh native up against Turkey's Buzra Izildar in the 75kg final at the World Boxing Championships in Liverpool at lunchtime. Ireland will bring home their best medal haul from the tournament since 2015, with Gráinne Walsh and Patsy Joyce both landing bronze medals in the last few days.
Okay, what else we got?
Well, Lewis Crocker, as Phil alluded to, claimed the vacant IBF welterweight title with a controversial victory in his rematch against fellow Irish fighter Paddy Donovan in Belfast last night. Knockdowns in rounds 3 and 5 helped Crocker to a split decision win at Windsor Park. While Terence Crawford has beaten Canelo Alvarez by unanimous decision in Las Vegas to become the world super middleweight champion, it makes him the first male fighter to be undisputed in 3 different weight classes.
Okay. We also have golf, racing, lots of else going on as well.
Indeed, Alex Noren still the player to catch in today's final round at golf's BMW PGA Championship. Now, Rory McIlroy made eagle on the 18th to sign off for the tournament with an overall score of 12 under. Just to bring you some of the few other scores from that championship so far today, it is still Alex Noren who leads the way. Shane Seamus Power as well, also looking for a PGA Championship card this weekend. He's at the BMW Championship on the PGA Tour. Or no, he's not. I got confused there. I'm looking through the scores here. Chat amongst yourselves there for a second.
By the way, the Rory Eagle was inches away from an albatross.
It was brilliant.
Like, just an incredible shot. I don't think he's got an albatross at any stage in his career. Could be open to correction on that, but that he was so close to it. And yeah, just a man with the, I think the word you use often.
Two eagles on the day, 65 from McIlroy, tied for 10th at the PGA Championship at Wentworth. Alex Noren through 8, 16 under par, leads Adrien Sadier of France, who played well at the Irish Open by a shot. Mm. And then we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players on 14 under, including Tyrrell Hatton and Patrick Reed, just looking down here through it. Tom McKibben, 3 under with, 3 to play, 11 under par. He's had a respectable tournament. Shane Lowry, though, only 1 under for the day through 17 on 8 under, Cameron. So,
yeah, disappointing showing for him. He got something, was it a double bogey on 17? So he's playing the last there, but disappointing day for Shane Lowry. A much more improved score for Rory McIlroy, so good form heading into the Ryder Cup.
Don't know if you lads saw this story during the week. I know John, as a Spurs fan, nearly stepped in it there.
Jeez.
But, big trouble there.
West Ham were playing Tottenham, of course, last night. But West Ham banned, before that game, banned half and half scarves. I don't know if you saw this.
Okay.
So the move is part of, quote, increased security activity that took place at that London derby last night. One of a number of measures the club have taken for the safety of all supporters to prevent any fans of the away club from getting access to home sections of the stadium. So people's opinions on half and half scarves are fairly strong. I don't think anyone usually is in the middle of the sphere here. It's always hate them, love them.
They're now a safety hazard too, as much as everything else.
Essentially, but in fairness, there are some half and half scarves.
Would you ever wear one?
You could wear your club with your country, for example, half and half scarf. I was once in a pub outside Old Trafford wearing a, it was a half Manchester United, half Republic of Ireland scarf with Irish reds on it. And a woman came up to me and told me to get out of the pub, because she said half and half scarves aren't allowed in here. And I said, this isn't a club, this is my country. And this country has provided so many unbelievable footballers for this club, including Roy Keane and plenty others. So once I explained myself, she half understood and walked away, tutted her head a little bit. But it was fine. But like, I can understand that, you know, you don't want to see a Manchester United, Liverpool half and half
scarf. Shane Hannon's match day stories.
Yeah.
But like an Arsenal Tottenham half and half scarf does just
a, there was a colleague once, I got a half and half jersey for his wedding because his wife was from one part of the country and he's part from another part of the country. So,
well, I get when
that was a jersey. It was
that's even worse.
But yeah, if a child is born, you know, and one parent is from one county, one parent is from the other, that's a cute little baby, you know, half and half jersey. That's okay. But it's when an adult wears it, that's when things need to be questioned and decisions need
imagine
to be...
Imagine like, you know, you had another half from Cavan, for example, as you as a Monaghan person, and wearing a Monaghan Cavan half and half.
Shuddered there, John, sorry.
Yeah, or a Mayo Galway one for you, Cameron, being a Mayo man.
Well, did you see the concept? I hope it's a concept jersey and not an actual thing, but the Ronaldo one from ages ago that had all like segments from all of Cristiano Ronaldo's clubs.
Like a Patrick jersey. Quilt then.
Yeah, it is the most horrendous looking thing I've ever seen.
It used to be a horse. Osiriski had about 20 different colours in squares on the jockey sleeves. I always thought it was one of the best. Yeah.
And it's also risky to wear half and half scarves at matches, obviously.
Yay! Yeah. Speaking of racing, the RSN Ledger of the Curra today. We got Alriffa, Illinois, Amilok, the British Raider, the Flying Five Stakes as well. So plenty to come at the Curra on Champions Festival weekend. How are we doing here at the moment, Cameron?
Well, Ireland have a 5-metre scrum and the put-in on France's line. Remember, they are down a player. They're playing contested scrums, it seems like, at the moment, but we're approaching the end of the final quarter here. They're 5 minutes into the sin bin. I think if Ireland really want to capitalize on this start, they need to get a try in the next few minutes, Sean.
Okay, don't forget we got the Sunday paper review to come on FM later on. Irish Daily Mail sports editor Orla McIlroy and the ex-League of Ireland boss Shane Keegan were on the show this week. A discussion around, obviously, the Republic of Ireland's calamity in Armenia is the headline topic. You're going to hear a full section of the conversation wherever you get your pods as well. The Sunday paper review podcast is up now for your Off the Ball subscriber. And road trip reruns, doing nothing at all. There's nice coffee for every kind of weekend. Whatever your weekend vibe, find it at Braeburn Coffee, only at Apple Green. Are we going to do this? Are we going to win this?
It's close, John. We might hold with it for a second because we're very close to the
whitewash. Metre short.
Yeah.
Here's Dan O'Brien out.
Do it.
We're in it for a try.
Stacey Flood.
Try
for Ireland in the Women's Rugby World Cup quarterfinal. 10-0 now against France. Next year, conversion to come.
What a start. What a start. It seems like it's right there for the taking. I did not see this coming.
No, I don't think anybody did, to be fair.
No. It's one of during the week where people were kind of saying with a little bit of hope, maybe we could get over the line.
Well, you saw last week, remember the Amy Lee Costigan, the ball just rolling out on her,
yeah,
and that bit of bad luck? That's happened all day for France here. They're not getting any 50-50s. They're not getting the rubber, the green at all.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Maybe it's because we're used to the rain. I don't know. The French just aren't used to
the rain.
Conditions.
What won it?
I didn't think that's what was coming to Exeter as well as a big Irish support. Here we are.
Yeah.
I've never been to Exeter, but it'll go now.
Yeah.
Ireland 10, France 0. Conversion to come. France with a player in the bin. Dan O'Brien there. Like the last one you said, Shane, off the left again. Probably a bit of an easier one here, but Dan O'Brien steps up.
Once
again, it's kind of sent off to the left, so she misses it. 10-0 to Ireland. 24 minutes in the watch in Exeter at the Women's Rugby World Cup quarterfinal. And we got France with a player in the bin. Shane Hannan and Cameron Hill, thank you so much for the news round this Sunday at lunchtime.
Off the ball, daily.